Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to the next step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. No, you don't have to check your brain in at the door to follow Armadoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to the next step. Yeah, we got the band going, and we are excited to be coming to you with episode number 268 of The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, about looking at the essence of life, the very fabric of our being, through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, rediscovered and polished up for today. Hey, we call that rediscovered and polished look Armadoxy. We're inviting you to take a look with us. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Rediscovery, that is the word for today. Rediscovering, yeah, it's like an ancient faith. Armenian Orthodoxy, Armenian Church. I got a book this week. It's by a guy named Darian, written in 2011. What is that? 4 years? Two years ago. Yeah, I'm just getting ahead of the game. Written 2 years ago, and he is talking about keeping traditions alive for the sake of traditions. And, you know, that's kind of dangerous. That's kind of dangerous when you do things without a purpose. There has to be a purpose. And there certainly is a purpose for the church. And that's a reconciliation. Whether you like to admit it or not, we're kind of like off course, aren't we? Hey, if you're in doubt, look at the world, right? We're off course. And it's a reconciliation with God. It's, well, the church is like it's like a bridge with God on one side and us on the other side. And we're going through. We're going through life. We're going through the challenges. And we're looking up at the big suspensions of the bridge and the nice roadway on it. Sometimes it's easy to get stuck on that bridge and say, hey, this is a beautiful bridge, without realizing that, well, it has a function, right? It has a function to unite, to bring together. That's our church. The Armenian church rediscovered today as all of a sudden you're on that bridge. You look and you say, oh yeah, I remember. There's a purpose for this bridge. That's what Armadoxy is, okay? To figure out that, yeah, I rediscovered it. I found out that there is a purpose. All that to say, hey, welcome. It's so good to have you with us. Yeah, you can tell I'm excited today. It's been a good morning right now. We are at Epostle West. We are at the Glendale studio recording to you, coming to you from a beautiful Southern California day. And got a lot to talk to you about today. I'm going to share with you a genocide survivor story, my miracle of the rosary. I read this recently, and I'm going to share that with you in a couple minutes because I thought it was just beautiful. I'm going to take a few points out of there and, well, we'll develop as we come along. But I want to start off with some remarkable stuff. Remarkable. Kind of like I never thought this would happen. Remarkable stuff coming from the Roman Pontiff. Yes, none other than His Holiness Pope Francis. What beautiful stuff is coming out. He recently has been in Brazil. So all of you down under, Yes, not just you over there in Australia, but all of you in South America. By the way, you're getting a great new guy next week. You're going to get a great architectural student next week over in Buenos Aires. But in the meantime, in Brazil, Pope Francis is really challenging people to look at the church in a new dimension. In other words, to look at the church as the body of Christ, the healing body of Christ. Perhaps he's not using those words, but I'm using them because you know how important it is, that whole message of healing. We've been sharing that with you here on The Next Step. We've been discussing it. We've been talking about it on our Compass programming. It is part of really that Armadoxy movement. Is that what is the purpose of the church if not to heal? What is the purpose of the bridge? Right? The bridge is basically the gathering of one side to the other, which is basically what a good physician does, right? Tears it apart and finds that there's an opening, there's a chasm there, and then brings it together, unites it, puts it together. So even in the bridge metaphor, we can find that there is healing. And certainly healing is so necessary worldwide. I mean, here in the United States, we just went through this terrible, terrible experience with a young man named Trayvon Martin, who was just basically brutally assassinated right on the streets of the United States. And perhaps many people are questioning, why him? Why Trayvon? After all, every day there are people that are being murdered. Every day there are people that are killed on the streets. But Trayvon, the whole story brings up all kinds of issues of racism, of justice gone awry. And laws, archaic laws. Are there laws that say that it's okay to just go and hunt down people because you have suspicions? So it brought a multitude of questions to forum. And, you know, when you start looking at these issues, when you start looking at what's going on in the world, you realize more than ever that we're ready for healing. I mean, everybody's looking for healing. I'm looking for healing. I know you are. People are. But there's so many people that are just walking around. My God, this week, having as a priest, going through the counseling experiences. You know, I had incidents of one person going through cult. I had another one of a drug addict. I mean, severe. I'm not talking about marijuana. I'm talking about heroin. In this day and age, with all the technology, with all the knowledge, all the information, why somebody would get hooked on heroin is beside me. Yet, we know that it happens. Why? Because, well, why does anybody go to a cult? Why would anybody get involved in religion? Why would anybody take the hashish of the people, as Karl Marx says? Well, because there's an emptiness. There's an openness. There is an illness, a disease. And so if my head hurts, hey, I have no problem reaching over, taking an aspirin or a Tylenol, or maybe an, what is it, ibuprofen, Motrin, yes, I know that's the drug of choice when you have a headache. Okay, well, do you ever figure that maybe people have bigger headaches and they need bigger medication? And certainly in life, there are all kinds of headaches. There are all kinds of difficulties. And people look for those medications. And what I'm saying is that as the church, we should be there as the primary medication because it is so natural. It is a natural process of loving, of caring, of taking in, of having compassion. And that is, to me, where the healing process begins. And each of us can be agents of it. Each of us can be members of the church if we allow ourselves to understand that model. And that's the difficulty. We don't understand that model. And so all of a sudden you got a Pope Francis who comes along and he says, wait a minute. Now, you know what? Here you've had Father Voskin talking to you for the last 5 years here on the Apostle, and you say, oh, that's nice. It's a priest. But what happens when the Pope says it? You get a little bit more leverage, don't you? And it's beautiful to hear the Pope talking about some of these concepts. And he came down, he laid into a new group of priests and nuns. And he said it just plainly. He said, the next time you're thinking about having a new car, a luxury car, think about all the children that are hungry. Whoa! What are you talking about? It's the Pope saying it. It's not just Father Voskin sitting around talking into a microphone. It's the Pope saying it, and he's saying it with authority. And where does that authority come from? Think about it for a moment. You could say, okay, the authority is coming from God, but you know where the real authority is coming from? It's coming from his sincerity. He's not only talking the talk, he's walking the walk. He's not sitting around in these beautiful vestments and shoes. He's a man of the people. He's not driving around in the limousines. He's taking the bus. He's getting out of the chauffeured car, and he's approaching the people. He's talking with them. He's sharing with them. And you see, that goes a long way. That sincerity factor is the defining factor. It's so important. I've shared this with you many times. Why is it that Jesus can turn to someone and call them a hypocrite? Because he was perfect. You and I can't do that. We have our flaws. We're still in the healing process. And that's why Jesus' message 2,000 years later is still as powerful and as relevant as it was 2,000 years ago. We're the ones who cloud it. We're the ones who add the extras to it. And then also, all of a sudden, we make it into something that it was never intended to be. Fortunately, you have a group of people that were there with Jesus. They're called the apostles. Those apostles came and established churches, one of which was the Armenian church. So you've got Apostle Thaddeus, Apostle Bartholomew coming and establishing the Armenian church. And now that starts developing. You got people coming in and people coming out 2,000 years later. Somebody looks at that and says, hey, wait a minute, you know what? There's something beautiful out there, right with the apostles, right there. And so you go back and you say, this is the Armenian Orthodox tradition, the Apostolic Church. But the church has developed into something else. Okay, fine, sift through that and find the prime message. When you call that Armenian Orthodoxy, it certainly is. But you have a hard time because then you have to deal with a structure that's not in place. So how about calling it, abbreviated, Armadoxy? It works, right? So that's what I mean by rediscovering a faith that we've always had. It's nothing new. And Pope Francis this week really came out with some heavy-duty statements where he was talking straight out to his people and saying that this is what it is. It's really Christianity. That's what Armadoxy is. Come on, let's not fool anybody. It's Christianity. We're not trying to create something new. All we're saying is that there is something pure. Listen to this. This is from a press release that just came out. The dateline is Vatican City. Pope Francis on Saturday said Catholics should not be afraid of renewing old and flimsy structures in the Catholic Church. And he urged future priests and nuns to buy humble cars and respect their vows of poverty. What? Wait, is this true? Wait, lest we be amused. Let's look into this. Is it possible? Well, it certainly is. And this is refreshing. Listen to this. In Christian life, this is the Pope, quote, in Christian life and in church life too, there are old and flimsy structures. We need to renew them. Remember, Father Voskin says this on Epostle on Next Step. Everybody, he's just some kind of radical revolutionary out there. The Pope says it. Beautiful. So let's applaud it. This is the highest ranking Christian in the Western world. Let's go for it. The Pope said in his homily in a private mass, we should not be afraid of allowing the flimsy structures that imprison us to fall down. This is wild. Okay, next time you go to a parish assembly, you go to a diocesan assembly, try to get up and say this. If you do, make sure you've got somebody taking care of your back, okay? Just make sure. But here he is. The Pope himself is saying this. The church has always allowed itself to be renewed. That is how the church has developed, leaving it to, guess what? The Holy Spirit to renew these structures. We should not be afraid of this, the Pope was quoted as saying. The Pope later on Saturday addressed thousands of cheering trainee priests and nuns from around the world. I feel bad when I see priests or a nun with the latest car model. This cannot be, he told them. Maybe you need a car to move around for work, but get one that is more humble. If you like a nice one, just think of how many children die of hunger. Wealth does a lot of harm. We priests and nuns need to be coherent about our poverty. And then setting the pace for where he sees the church going. Ready for this? I would like a more missionary church. Not so tranquil. A beautiful church that moves forward. What are we talking about? Progress. Progress. And so what did we define progress? Do you remember a couple weeks ago? Yeah, on Compass. Progress is the means of healing. Connect the dots. What are we talking about? Healing. The bridge. The chasm. Bringing it all together. See how this works? I'm telling you. Sometimes I think about this. And yesterday I was with somebody who's seen a miracle in his life. Very, very tragic thing that happened in his own personal life and his father's life. He's been going to the hospital, we've been praying, and it's been a really difficult time for him. And yesterday he told me about some incredible, incredible newness, developments in his father's story. And I turned to him and I said, guess what? You're in the middle of a miracle. And he says, yes, I feel that way. I feel I'm in the middle of a miracle. Well, think about what does that mean? You're in the middle of a miracle. It means you don't know where you're going. But you certainly know where you were. Okay, so don't question it too much. What does it mean? Trust. Trust. Put your finger on it and say, I trust. God is in charge. God's got my back. I'm moving forward. I'm progressing. I'm healing. That's what's important. So imagine being in the middle of some turmoil, okay? You just came out of a storm, and you see out there that way out in the clearing, there's a little bit of sunshine, but you know what? It's way out there, okay? Well, don't feel bad. Don't feel depressed. Ah, it's too far. I can't get it. Instead, say, you know what? God is in charge. I've made it this far. Thank you. Thank you. Where's my clapper? You know, we bought this clapper to have a studio audience in it. Thank you. Yeah, I've always wanted to use that. Thank you for bringing me to this point. Now, from here, can you take me forward? I trust that you will. You're in the middle of a miracle. And in the same way, this is how I feel with the apostle. This is where I feel where Armadoxy is. I don't know where we're headed, except I know that if we trust God, it won't be a bad place. I have those questions. I don't know where we're headed. But I do know that in the past, we've had that flimsy structure, which we need to say goodbye to. We need to tear down that flimsy structure, because it's not going to support anything. It's not going to support anything. What you need to do is take the words of Pope Francis literally in your heart and understand that what he's talking about, the church, is our life, is the body of Christ. It needs to be strong. It needs us to be there. As St. Paul the Apostle says so beautifully, he says, Christ is the head and we are the members of the body. We are the body. We need to be healed. We need to be in that position to become a strong body. God bless Pope Francis. I am inspired. Almost makes me think like, what am I doing over here? But you know what? We're all part of it. I shared with you when Pope Francis was elected and at his first papal mass, it was so beautiful because at the point of the Wochtrin, the kiss of peace, he invited two patriarchs to be with him. One was the patriarch of Istanbul, the ecumenical patriarch, His Holiness Bartholomew the First, and the other was His Holiness Gaudakin the Second. And in that moment, they shared, "Christ is in our midst," the kiss of peace. Greet one another with the holy kiss. Christ is in our midst. And think about that. His Holiness Francis, His Holiness Gaudakin, His Holiness Bartholomew. The three main players of Orthodoxy, the three heads of the Universal Church. So in a sense, I just feel totally connected. And it's just a question of West and East right now. It's a question of geography. For in reality, we are one. We are the body of Christ. That's the first definition of healing. Okay, I'm ready. I know you are too. Let's go to the song of the day. This is off of the Armenia New Age Armenia album. This is called Yergunka Ambele. That is off of an album called New Age Armenia. A song called Ambera Patsvelen. And credit for that goes to Artur Setrakian and Albina Hampartsumian, the authors and publishers of that music. We will put a link on our show notes to this song, as well as all the great music that comes off of that CD. Do support them. You know, we always say that. We play these songs and just to introduce you to some great music and have you support these artists. Speaking of which, last Friday night, we went to our good friend Gor Mkhitaryan's concert. It was over at Levitt Pavilion in Pasadena. What a beautiful night! In fact, he sang a song called The Perfect Evening, and he prefaced it by saying it really was a perfect evening. The weather, the company, we were there with family, with friends. There was just so much beauty and love and warmth in the air. Of course, it was a hot Pasadena, Southern California evening as well. But there was so much love in the air and excitement. And it was just great hearing that music in that open-air venue. And always great to be with the Gor Company. Ardabanjan played with him from Element Band. Ah, just the talent. You know, when you think about it, between Gor and Arda just coming together and just sharing their talent, their God-given gift with the rest of us. Oh, that makes for perfection. You know, as I was putting together the notes for today's show, I didn't realize this connection until right now as I'm looking to the next note. I mean, people are going to think I jumped ship. They're going to say, what is this, another Catholic promotion over here? Well, why not? You know, if it works. And actually, it's not about Catholicism as much as it is about symbols. And this is about the rosary, which is primarily found within Catholicism. But I want you to really understand what I'm talking about, because it is also something that pertains to us within the next step in His Shoes movement, and that is about genocide survival. There was an interesting article that I want to share with you on BeliefNet, and it is about genocide survivors and the miracle of the rosary. And, you can look at it and say, oh, we're talking about Catholic symbolism, and certainly you'd be right in doing that. Okay, then what? Well, there's something to be learned in all of this, because I think that the rosary in many ways is a vestige from the Eastern practices of, let's say, iconography, of Eastern practices of mysticism, because it does leave something for meditation and the mystic. I've been getting lately into some practices of meditation and realizing that, you know, someone like St. Grigor Naregatsi, in his writings, in his lamentations, is really calling us to meditate from the depths of our heart. He's talking about, if you've engaged in any type of meditation, you know that it's not just a mental game, but it's a full physical that comes from your heart. Meditation is not about just the brain. It's about brain, body, spirit, emotions, all coming together. And really this holistic approach to understanding the self within the context of the greater universe. And therefore, what are we talking about again? Healing. Putting it all together. So in this article, and I'll have a link on our show notes definitely today for this article as well, the title of it is Genocide Survivor, My Miracle of the Rosary. And I want to just share with you some of the thoughts in there. It says, with the exception of the precious moments I devote to praying the rosary each day, nothing gives me more happiness than discussing the beauty and power we can all bring into our lives when we pick up these sacred beads and turn our hearts toward heaven, writes Immaculée Ilabagaza. She's a survivor of the terrible mass slaughter that took place in 1994 in the Eastern Africa nation of Rwanda. This especially is close to my heart because back in 2006, I had a chance to go with a small team to Rwanda and actually meet with many of the genocide survivors. And I know what a role faith played in that. And my purpose for bringing this up today is because, you know, thank God for most of us, our trials, our tribulations are not of the magnitude of genocide, but they certainly hurt. And our faith is really something that we need to be able to latch on to. And certainly Orthodoxy, within Armenian Orthodoxy especially, we have the opportunities to latch on via symbols. Because, you know, you can't understand those big things. For instance, if I say to you, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. What does that mean to you? He who lives in me shall never experience darkness. What does that mean? Dark, light? Well, you know, I can't understand that completely, but I can understand it at a superficial level, right? I could turn on my lights and I know that it lights up a room. So I could understand having Christ in my life, it's lighting up the darkness of my life. And where there is that light, darkness cannot exist. Okay, I could understand that concept, but what have I done there? I'm using a symbol, I'm using the metaphor in its true sense by aligning it to the light that I light in my room. Turn on the switch. Well, we used to do that with candles before electricity. We used to do that with candles. We'd light a candle, and in meditating, in looking at that candle, you understood that it lit up your world. It lit up your life. And unfortunately, today, these practices have become, well, part of that flimsiness that we've been talking about. Never understanding what it's about, but rather understanding the tradition. So you look at it and you say, oh, I'm going to go light a candle. Well, what are you lighting a candle for? Are you lighting a candle because there is some symbolism to it. That symbolism of, or that relationship with Christ. And if Christ isn't in that candle, isn't in that thought of the candle, it means nothing to go out there and light a candle. Except perhaps a sense of tradition, a sense of belonging. And arguably that these are important things, but it doesn't mean anything within church. You might as well just go down the street and light a candle out in the park, light a candle somewhere else. But within the context of the church, you understand it connecting you to that light source. And certainly in the same way, when we look at rosary beads, and you know, I got to be the first one who will admit, I don't know anything about rosary beads. I'm just sharing this with you right now. Because I recognize that people are using these, using different means to understand the ununderstandable, the deep mystery out there. And so I'm sharing this with you to understand that really, within Orthodoxy, symbolism is very important. And now I'm seeing that within the Western tradition, we're starting to see that people are appreciating that symbolism. Let me continue over there. Over the course of approximately 100 days, over 500,000 people were killed, according to Human Rights Watch estimate. As much as 20% of the country's population. It was the culmination of a longstanding ethnic tension between minority Tutsi tribe, which had controlled power for centuries, and the majority Hutu tribe, which had taken power. And I had visited the town, the main city, the capital city of Kigali, back in 2006, and I remember just seeing devastation all over. This is right after the genocide. I remember seeing mass graves as well as unburied corpses. They were still lingering there. They were still there. 12 years after the genocide. And so how do you deal with something of this magnitude? Well, you deal with it in the best way that you knew. You cling on to the symbols that you have. And I've shared this with you, and it's in my blog. You know what? I'll put a link on our show notes to the Rwanda blog. It's important to revisit that, because when I went to Rwanda, for me, it was an opportunity to go back to Armenia in 1925, circa 1925. What would it be like to go back to Armenia 10 years after the genocide? I may never, you know, nobody's ever going to know that, but I certainly have an idea by going to Rwanda 10 years after their genocide. And we're finding this faith, which in many ways parallels the faith that I saw within my family. As a priest now, I see within the bigger family within that generation that unfortunately has gone by. But we still have remnants. We have stories. And certainly we have their faith, which continues today. In the Rosary, the prayer that saved my life, Ilabagiza writes, "The power of the Rosary will bring blessings into your lives too numerous to count. It can clear confusion from our thoughts, chase trouble from our hearts, resolve problems that plague us, restore us to health, and fill us with happiness and hope." "For those of you who don't know me," she explains, "I am a survivor of the bloody 1994 genocide that devastated my beautiful African homeland, Rwanda. After every member of my immediate and extended family was murdered during the slaughter, and so was just about every other person I had ever loved or called a friend, I survived thanks to the kindness of a local pastor who took mercy upon me and seven other Tutsi women by hiding us in a tiny bathroom for 3 months. The pastor's kindness prevented me from being murdered, but it was the prayers of the Rosary that saved my life and my soul." Now, I'm sure you're figuring out this is that famous story, and there's a book written about it. I'll make sure that it's in our show notes today. But what I want you to focus in on is we look for physical survival. The pastor's kindness prevented her from being murdered, but it was the prayers of the Rosary that saved her life and her soul. Life is more than that body, says our Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly when you come to these life or death situations, you understand that what Christ is talking about is a complete healing. It's not partial, it's not just somewhere out there, but it's a complete healing. "While I may have learned the great power of the Rosary prayer during a nightmare I would not wish on any living soul, I know for a fact that we do not have to be facing danger or death for Our Lady to hear our cries, for Jesus to come into our aid, or for God to answer our prayers. They are always found there, but by learning to travel toward them through more focused and profound prayer, we are able to meet them at ever-deepening depths within our own hearts. And that is where the rewards of prayer in our life become limitless." The rewards of prayer are limitless. One of the enduring beauties of the Rosary is its power to draw our attention to the aspects of our life most in need of help, comfort, and guidance. So every time we meditate on a mystery or read the corresponding Bible passage, certain words or ideas will sing out to us, perhaps because they spark a happy family memory or shed light on how to resolve a persistent challenge. The point is that when we pray the Rosary, sweetness slips into our bloodstream and slowly works its way through our entire body. I love that. Isn't that beautiful? Slowly comes into the bloodstream. Well, once it comes into the bloodstream, that's God. Once it comes into you, it's not going to lose you. It's going to be there. Many times when I pray it, I don't realize until much later my problems have been solved, and only then, by noticing my spirit has lightened, a smile has crept onto my face, and what had seemed an insurmountable difficulty no longer concerns me at all. Faith in God is the most powerful force we can ever hope to harness, and there is no better tool for harnessing that power than a sincerely prayed rosary. And yet, the greatest gifts of the Rosary brings to us are the ones we never see, except in the smiles on the faces of those around us. She concludes with this statement: "The real miracles of the Rosary are the miracles that the prayers and meditations work upon our hearts and soul. When we bring God into our heart through the prayers of the Rosary, we have already experienced the greatest of all possible miracles, and everything else will take care of itself." I just had to share this with you, okay? Again, I'm not talking about the practice of rosary over any other practice. What I'm talking about is our ability to focus, our ability to turn over, to really establish a relationship with God so that we are convinced that He's in charge. And what is that? Just a fancy way of saying we trust our Maker, trust God. And so practices, whether you look at an icon, you venerate a saint, or you pray the rosary, these are all means by which we heighten our awareness and elevate the self from our humanity to a realm that is higher than us. We want to believe that is the divine, that is the ultimate. Can we understand it? Not in all its ramifications. Can we hope to understand it? Yeah, you can always hope. And that's what it's about. You know, some of the most troubling aspects of religion for me, and perhaps it's maybe the reason why religion is on the down, is on the decline. Spirituality is on an up, but religion is on a decline. One of the most troubling things for me is when people start answering for God, when they place themselves in the place of God. And only God is God. And that's why I said earlier, you know, Jesus was able to call someone else a hypocrite because it was pure. You and I can't do that because of what we call the sinful nature, which is not a bad thing. It just means we are not perfect. So let God be God and we are human. Okay, we're people. And let us be people. And so whatever your practice, whether it's a rosary, whether it's meditating in front of an icon or venerating a certain saint, bringing an example into your life, whether it's sitting in full lotus, burning some incense, whatever the case may be, it's an opportunity for you to focus in on what is important and lift yourself from your humanity. I'm going to end this segment with a very special little meditation. This is from a teacher of mine, Torkom Sayadaw, New Dimensions in Healing, a beautiful book that he's written. And this is a meditation which I did recently, and I want to share it with you. O thou who watched me since my cradle, hear my voice and turn your eyes upon me. I am ready to have closer contact with you. My intention is to be a mature servant and fulfill your expectations to serve, to sacrifice, to radiate light, love, and energy, to fulfill the will of the Almighty Power in the universe. Here I am, with all my humility and with all my commitment. I will not create any more barriers between you and me. Let your light inspire me. Let your joy fill my heart. Let your glory strengthen my arms and feet to work and walk on earth. As a fiery servant for the will of God, accept my commitment, O my angel of love. I will put, I'm trying to get this typed up and put it on our show notes. Just a beautiful little prayer, a beautiful meditation, a point of meditation. I hope you enjoyed it and touched you as much as it touched me. You know, the more we learn about our faith, the more we learn about Armenian Orthodoxy, about Ormodoxy, the more you understand how beautiful it is, how rich it is, how connecting it is, and how healing it is. And really, that's our mission over here. When we talk about spreading this, it's imagine you discover, Jesus says, you discover this pearl. And the merchant who discovers, he does everything he can. He sells everything he can just to acquire that pearl because he discovered it. In other words, he gives total everything, body, soul, mind, to acquire that pearl. The same way, when you discover something so beautiful that connects us to the divine, you give up everything and you go for it. And I hope that's what we do here. All right, let Susie come in now and tell you how we do that and how you can get involved. Nice transition.
Hi, this is Susie for In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armodoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. At epostle.net, we are determined to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we must avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at epostle.net. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie. And you know what this ministry is really about. It's about getting that word out. We are trying different ways, different approaches, and God is directing us. Really, it is completely, totally a trust situation. We know where the Holy Spirit is leading us. I want to thank you for your prayers. It goes a long way. You know, sometimes I get a small little message, and you can't believe what a small little email, a little voice message, how far it goes. So thank you. Please keep us in your prayers. Keep us part of your focus. And the meditation with us. You know, I appreciate it. You know, we got listeners who call me on Thursdays when it's late. I think today's going to be another one of those late times when it comes out. You know, remember that we are broadcasting this from the Pacific time zone. So we are the last people on Earth. I think after us is just Hawaii 3 hours later, and then that's about it. Hawaii, Alaska, I think they're 3 hours. But other than that, everybody else has already gone through the day. So by the time we get this out, if we put it out like 9:10 at night, most everybody is in Friday. So I just really appreciate it when people call up and say, everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine. Thank you. But just remember, we're in the last time zones. So I just really appreciate it. I've never believed that this ministry would launch and become as big as it is. But it is through God's will, and it is God's Spirit that leads us. And I invite you to be a participant in that with your prayers and with your support. And with that, let me just say, we are at the end of today's show. We're doing all kinds of wild things over here. I invite you to get involved with us. On Facebook, you can like us at Epostle, as well as St. Peter Armenian Church Youth Ministry in Glendale. That's where everything begins from and ends with, you know, just like a neat place. We're doing Dativ Outreach, which is expanding to family ministry. We're doing In His Shoes, which looks for injustice in the world. Basically, all of these ministries come out of a very focused faith in God, believing that we are the church of Jesus Christ, and therefore we are the body, the legs, the hands, the means by which Christ interacts with this world. And so, with your prayers and your support, you're part of this. Okay, you are the legs, you are the hands, you're part of this beautiful ministry. Hey, listen, next month I am walking for Avon Breast Cancer Walk. I'm walking 39 miles. And if you want, get on our Facebook page, Team In Her Shoes, Yeah, it's a nice little twist. Team in her shoes, okay? And get on there and see all the wonderful things that we're doing. If you want to support me in my walk, I'll carry your name with me. Just drop me a line and say, you know, I need special prayers. And when we go through that 39-mile walk on Sunday morning, September 8th, I'm going to be stopping for a few moments to say a special prayer and remember all of the names that I'm carrying with me, as well as our entire team members, all of them who are carrying with us. I'll put a link on today's show notes. You can read my story and become a part of that as well. Okay, we are at the end, and I want to thank you for joining us. I want to thank you for being part of this. For Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, he's been hiding around, but every so often, like today, comes in, smokes a pack with. I can't believe how much you smoke. But you know what? God give you the strength. You're an incredible man. I love your physique, Ken. And for Vahe, our webman, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us on all of our programming at epalsy.net, Compass with Linda Zadoyan, Inside the Pomegranate with Anusha Vijic, and of course, The Next Step next week. See you then.
Trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
You're seeing the same sky as we are.